very thankful to have this opportunity to record this message on March 22nd, 2020. We are abiding by the restrictions that have been set out for gatherings of less than 10 people, so our church did not meet publicly this morning. We're thankful for the opportunities to view some messages online. But I just wanted to give a few thoughts that have been on my heart concerning this time that has been sort of laid upon us by the necessities of life, and very thankful that we have the privilege of meeting together, and it is something that we miss when we're not able to meet together. But I pray that the Lord would bless each one of His people today as we think about and meditate upon how good that He's been to us to give us the privileges that we have in life, the privilege to assemble together as God's people. And in these times when we're not able to do that, it ought to renew in us afresh the desire to be more diligent in our meeting together and praying for one another and helping one another and loving one another as God's dear children. I think about the fact that we have for years in my lifetime been, there's been an underlying concern that there may be some point at which the government would demand that God's people not assemble, not meet in a public worship service if the wrong people were in charge of the government. And that's been a fear ever since I've been a young person. I don't believe that that's the case that we're in right now, but it's something that we need to be ever mindful of and pray that the Lord would bless us as His people to watch over these things and to come together and be more diligent, as I've said already. In the book of Zechariah, we have a passage of Scripture in the first chapter that I want to read for you and then have just a few words to speak about that. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 80 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Now, we know that this was in the context of this book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. This was the time when the children of Israel had been in captivity, in Babylonian captivity, for 70 years. They had been allowed by the Lord, a remnant of those people had been allowed to come back into Jerusalem and into Judea. And in so doing, then they began to rebuild the wall and the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's forces some 70 years prior to this. And so they came back to a sense of desolation where that there was no city really to speak of, no temple for them to worship in. And they then began, as I've said, to rebuild. But there came a time when there was a loss of hope, apparently. The work was going slow. Quite frankly, I believe that many of the Lord's people there began to lose hope in this. Maybe they began to lose interest. I don't know, but it seems like that there was a lessening of the zeal and the fervor that they had to do this work and to rebuild the things that were there. So they began then to believe perhaps that the heathen had won, and those who opposed the Lord's people had won, and they had overcome them to the point where they just could not do and finish this work. And so they cried out to the Lord and said, "How long? How long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah?" They knew that he had had indignation. He said these 70 years, the 70 years that we spoke of earlier. And the Lord had allowed this to come about. He had allowed the destruction of that physical city. He had allowed the destruction of that physical temple. But the reason that I believe he had done that is because it had become a place of idolatry. The temple and the city in physical shape meant more to the children of Israel than what it was supposed to represent. And what it was supposed to represent was the stability and the steadfastness of God in giving them a place of safety and security to worship Him, the one true and the living God. They began to love the things, the natural things, more than they loved the spiritual essence of what God had given to them. And so he allowed that to be destroyed and allowed them to be taken into captivity in a strange land where they were strangers in that land. But as I've already said, he then allowed, after 70 years, the completion of that time limit that God had set on it himself, he allowed for a remnant, a portion of people to come back into Jerusalem and to worship there and to redo this building that was taking place. And so as we see that happening, we find again this discouragement. So the Lord then began to answer these people who cried out to him for relief. He answered them, and not with a sense of indignation, but with a sense of renewed hope to them that he in fact was going to allow the city to be rebuilt, and was going to allow it to become once again a place of great hope and comfort to his people. Now, when we think about the relation of that physical city of Jerusalem to the spiritual aspects of it, and we compare that then to the physical nature of a church building, a place to assemble, then we can maybe get a spiritual lesson from this. The physical nature of a church building is that it is not the church. We refer to it as the church, but it's just a place. It's a physical place that God has allowed his people in many different areas and in many different cities and locations to build a place of local assembly for his people to come together and worship. And he's told us to come together and worship in this way. But if we think about the fact that if that physical location is not there, can we not worship? Can we not go on? I know that we're in a time right now of what's called social distancing. We're supposed to stay away from one another because of this virus that is a threat to those who are vulnerable to this sort of thing. And so we're sort of distanced from one another. And yet our hearts and our minds can still be with one another in our thoughts, in our prayers. And so the building is important. We love it. We're thankful for it. Many times I've said that though the building is just a building, that it is a place where God's people over the years and over the generations, if a building has stood long enough, that God's people have met together to worship Him, the one true and the living God. They've rejoiced together. They've shed tears of joy together. They've shed tears of grief, perhaps, together in times of loss. So it's an important place, and yet it's not the most important part or aspect of this thing. The very fact that a people gather together once a week on a Sunday morning does not necessarily mean that they have assembled in the sense that God has told us to assemble together and not forsake the assembling together in that way. Because meeting together, if we don't realize the goodness and the mercy of God, if we don't see the goodness and the importance of the privilege that God has given to us, then it's just a place to get together. But the assembly is when hearts and minds are joined together in a desire first and primarily to worship the one true and the living God and to praise and adore His precious name. And when that is the essence of why we've come together, then we have truly assembled in that way. And so as God's people then in this sense were in the time of the nation of Israel, were allowed to rebuild, we trust that sometime soon, and I hope very soon, that we'll be able once again, that the restrictions will be lifted, the concerns will be abated, and we'll be able once again to come together in that place of physical worship together. But in the meantime, brothers and sisters, let us pray for each other. Let us be concerned for each other. Let's check on one another, and let's try as God's people to lift one another up before Him in prayer, that our hearts and our minds might continue to stay together, though physically we're not together. All right, so the Lord answered the angel that talked with me in good words and comfortable words, Zechariah says. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. You could put the word zeal in here. The word zeal and the word jealous are words that are very similar in the Bible. And you could put the word zealous in here if you would like, because when the Lord says He's jealous, it means He's zealous. He is ever working His will and His way. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, Daniel was another one of those who had gone into that captivity in Babylon. And then when the Persians took over, he was in that captivity as well. But the Lord showed through Daniel in His word when He said that He ruleth and reigneth among men, and that none, He ruleth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand nor say unto Him, what doest thou? So the Lord is working His will in all things, and you and I can rest in that. And though He may sometimes allow things such as we're in right now to come on us, this separation that we're in right now, He's still just as zealous about Zion, His church now in the day we live in. He's zealous for Zion. He said that His church would prevail. Jesus Himself said to Peter, thou art Peter, upon this rock, meaning the rock of confession, that Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. You and I can take hope and comfort in that God is still jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And He is sore displeased with those who would try to take these things from us, and for those who would cause us to become discouraged in the way. And so in the 16th verse of this passage that we've read to you this afternoon, He says, therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. God has been merciful to his people throughout all time, and he's been especially merciful to his people with the establishment of his church and his church kingdom and the giving forth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament age, and that's the age that we're living in now. We have the gospel of Christ. Brother Paul said when he was going to go to Rome, he said, "I'm therefore now not ashamed of the gospel of God." In other words, he's not bereft of something that has power and strength in it. He's not left without it. That's what the word ashamed means there. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." There's a power of God in the gospel, not to regenerate or to born again a people, but to speak to the hearts of those who have been born of the Spirit of God and who have come forth from that dead state that they were in into a lively spiritual state and can then hear the gospel and believe in what the Lord says to him through this thing. So he says, "I've returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem." And then he says this, "Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad." Well, what's he saying there? He's saying that that which is he has given to the church will go forth and will be proclaimed and will be preached. He sent forth men, and still today sends forth men to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that preaching the gospel is for the good and for the edification of his people wherever that they may be. And so when he talks about his cities, his places of refuge, and brothers and sisters, the truth of God's finished work through Christ Jesus with his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of all of his elect people is good news to God's little children who find themselves bereft of hope from time to time. But here, when we remember what he has done for us, then we can know that God has returned with mercy to his house, and his house is being built and has been built. And he says, "The Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem." He's going to continue to do this. You and I may see times of trouble and trial and turmoil in our lives, even concerning the ability to assemble together in a physical location. But yet God has provided many things. Just this morning, I was able to view via the technologies that are available to us, a song service, and two brethren preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it caused my heart to rejoice as though I were sitting in a physical location with them. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thing when we consider what God has done for us in this way. And so we do desire to be in a physical location with his people. And yet, if time goes on and we're not able to do that for a short time, we trust. We know that God has still said that he shall yet comfort Zion. I hope the Lord will comfort you this afternoon with this short message, and I hope it's a message of hope. Continue to love and to pray for one another. Pray that the Lord would lift threat to be lifted from us, and that we might again be able to return and be more zealous as we return, be more diligent, be more appreciative of what God has given to us in the public worship, where we're able to meet together and sing the songs of Zion together, and to love one another and to shake one another's hands as brothers and as sisters. I love you this afternoon, and I pray the Lord will continue to bless you. And that is my prayer, for Christ's sake.